Maigret in Society.
Sleep in the apartment, Mademoiselle Lerieux?
Yes. I have a little room behind the kitchen, Chief Inspector Maigret.
There aren't any other servants?
Not here, no.
You do the housework and the cooking here?
Yes.
How old are you?
70.
And the Comte de Saint-Hilaire? How old was he?
77.
When did you leave him last night?
About 10 o'clock.
He was in the study?
Yes.
He wasn't expecting anybody?
He didn't say so.
Did anybody ever come to see him in the evening?
His nephew.
Where does his nephew live?
In the Rue Jacob. He is an antique dealer.
Does he call Saint-Hilaire, too?
No, he's the son of Monsieur's sister. His name is Mazarin.
This morning when you found the body of the Comte de Saint-Hilaire, because it was this morning you found it, wasn't it?
Yes. At 8 o'clock.
You didn't think of phoning Monsieur Mazarin?
No.
Why not? You don't like him?
Who?
Monsieur Mazarin.
That's none of my business.
What is none of your business?
Family matters.
The nephew didn't get along with his uncle?
I didn't say that.
What did you do last night at 10 o'clock?
I went to bed.
When did you get up?
At 6 o'clock, as usual.
And you didn't set foot in this room?
There was no reason for me to come in here.
Was the door shut?
If it had been open, I should have noticed right away that something had happened.
Why?
Because the lights were still on.
As they are now?
No, the ceiling light was not on. Just the desk lamp and the floor lamp in that corner.
And what did you do at 6 o'clock?
First of all, I washed.
And then?
I cleaned my kitchen and I went to buy some croissants.
And then?
I made some coffee, I had my breakfast, and finally I went to the Count's bedroom with the tray.
Had the bed been slept in?
No.
Was the room untidy?
No.
Last night when you left him, was the Count wearing this black dressing gown?
Yes, as he always did in the evening when he didn't go out.
Did he go out often?
He liked the movies.
Did he invite friends here?
Hardly ever. Now and then he used to go out to lunch.
Do you know the names of the people he met?
That is none of my business.
Yes. Was the Comte de Saint-Hilaire a religious man?
He never missed Mass on Sunday, even in Russia.
Was the window shut when you found the body?
It was you who opened it. I didn't even touch the curtain.
And the bedroom window?
That was shut, too. Monsieur Lecomte was sensitive to the cold.
Who had a key to the apartment?
He and I, nobody else.
Did he often stay up late?
That depends on what you mean by late.
What time did he usually go to bed?
I was nearly always in bed before he was.
You didn't hear him leave his study?
Go into my bedroom and you'll see that you can't hear anything there except the elevator, which is on the other side of the partition.
How did he spend his evenings?
Reading, writing, correcting the proofs of his books.
Did he go to bed at midnight, say?
Perhaps a little earlier or a little later, depending on the day.
And when he went to bed, he never called you? He never had need of your services?
What for?
He might have felt like a hot drink before going to bed, or perhaps...
He never had a hot drink at night, and if he wanted something to drink, he had his liquor cabinet here.
Yeah. Did the Comte de Saint-Hilaire possess any firearms?
Some hunting guns. They're in the cupboard at the end of the hall.
Was he a keen shot?
He sometimes did a little shooting when he was invited to a chateau.
He didn't own a pistol or a revolver? Did you hear my question?
What did you ask me?
Did he own a pistol or a revolver?
Yes, I think he had a revolver.
With a cylinder?
What do you mean by a cylinder?
Was it flat, or was it a fat part, a cylinder in the middle?
It was flat.
Where did he keep this automatic of his?
I don't know. I haven't seen it for a long time. The last time, it was in the chest of drawers.
In his bedroom?
Yes.
When did you last see the automatic?
Some years ago.
How many years ago, roughly?
I don't know. Time goes so quickly.
You never saw it anywhere except in the chest of drawers?
No. Perhaps he had put it in one of the drawers in his desk. I never opened those drawers, and in any case, they were always locked.
Do you know why?
But why do people lock pieces of furniture?
He distrusted you?
Certainly not.
Whom, then?
Well, don't you ever lock anything? You?
One moment.
Chief Inspector Maigret.
Come in, Legrand.
How is it that you got here before me? Did she phone you?
No, she didn't even do that. She went to the Quai d'Orsay. Do you know the victim?
It's the former ambassador, isn't it? I suppose that's why she went to the Foreign Office before coming to the police. I know him by name and by sight. Every morning he used to go for a stroll in the neighborhood. Who did that to him?
We don't know anything yet. The police doctor should be here any minute now. The lab boys.
I suppose I can't turn him over before the photographers get here.
No, don't touch him.
It's queer.
What's queer?
He seems to have been hit by at least four bullets. One here, another there. I don't know what the medical experts will think about it. For my part, I wouldn't be surprised if the first bullet hadn't killed him. And in spite of that, the murderer went on firing. Mind you, that's just a theory.
No, that'll be the lab and the doctor.
Mm.
This way.
Yes, sir.
Has anything been stolen?
Right. Seems not. At first sight.
Does the housekeeper know anything?
Well, if she does, it won't be easy to make her talk.
Why not?
As I told you, the first thing she did after she found the body, she didn't call his nephew or the police. But no, she went to the Foreign Office.
These people, even their servants, are brought up in the belief that the whole world begins and ends on the Quai d'Orsay.
Mm-hmm.
Any relatives?
Yes, a nephew. Lives just a few streets away in the Rue Jacob. While my men are at work, you can look after things, Legrand. I'll go there myself. I'd rather meet him in his own setting. If I've understood you correctly, Monsieur Mazarin, this is the situation. About 1910, your uncle met a girl whom he loved and who loved him, but they didn't get married because the Comte de Saint-Hilaire was practically penniless.
That's correct.
2 years later, when your uncle was in an embassy in Poland or somewhere, young Isabelle made a marriage of convenience and became the Princess Isabelle. She has a son, so it wasn't an unconsummated marriage. The couple must have lived together as husband and wife, at least at the time.
Yes.
Unless, in the meantime, Isabelle and your uncle had seen each other again and had given way to their passion.
No.
How can you be so sure? You think that in their particular world...
I'd say no, because my uncle spent the whole of the First World War away from France. When he came back, the child, Philippe, was 2 or 3 years old.
All right. The sweethearts saw each other again?
No.
They never saw each other again?
I've already told you so.
For 50 years, then, they wrote to each other practically every day, and one day your uncle spoke to you about a marriage which was to take place in the more or less distant future, which means, I suppose, that he and Isabel were waiting for her husband, the prince, to die in order to get married.
I imagine so.
Now we come to the epilogue. 10 or 12 days ago, the exact date doesn't matter, the 80-year-old prince was thrown from his horse in the Bois de Boulogne. On Sunday morning, he died from his injuries. Yesterday, Tuesday, that is to say, 2 days later, your uncle was killed in his study. The consequence is that two old people who for 50 years had been waiting for the time to come when they could finally be joined together won't be joined together after all. Is that right?
That is correct.
Well, thank you, Mr. Mazarin. Now, will you please give me your wife's address?
23 Rue de la Pompe at Passy.
And do you know the name of your uncle's lawyer?
Maître Aubonnet of the Rue de Villeresassal.
Nurse is through. Miss Sankey, you're free to go now. I suppose I can always find you here at your store?
I shan't be here very much this afternoon. I shall have to make arrangements for the funeral and the announcements of my uncle's death. And first of all, I intend to get in touch with Maître Bonnet.
So shall I. Chief Inspector Maigret. I've come to see you, Maître Aubenet, about one of your clients, the Comte de Saint-Hilaire.
Yes. Just imagine. Saint-Hilaire and I first met at Stanislas. That's how many years ago, at the moment. I'm 77, so it's 60 years now since we're in the sixth form together. Even in his school days, Saint-Hilaire was a bon vivant. But a bon vivant of a rather rare type. A person of tremendous distinction.
I suppose he has left a will with you.
And his nephew, young Mazarin, asked me the same question just now. I was able to set his mind at rest.
Does the nephew inherit everything?
Not the whole estate, no. I know the will by heart since it was I who drew it up.
A long time ago?
Now, the last will dates back 10 years or so.
Were the previous wills different?
Only in minor particulars. I wasn't able to show the nephew the document, seeing that all the interested parties had to be present.
And who are they?
Broadly speaking, Alain Mazarin inherits the block of apartments in the Rue Saint-Dominique and the bulk of fortune, which in any case isn't very great. Jacquette Larieux, the housekeeper, receives a pension which will enable her to end her days in comfort. As for the furniture, knick-knacks, pictures, and personal belongings, Saint-Hilaire bequeaths them to an old friend.
Princess Isabelle.
Ah, I see you know all about it.
Do you know her?
Fairly well. I knew her husband better because he was one of my clients.
And he and Saint-Hilaire weren't afraid of running into each other in your office?
Well, it never happened. The idea that it might probably never occurred to them. I don't know that they would have found it terribly embarrassing. You see, they were made, if not to be friends, at least to have a high regard for each other. For they were both of them men of honor, and what is more, men of taste. Men of taste, yes. And you could add that in one respect they had identical tastes. For about a year, the prince and he had the same mistress. Lovely girl. An opulent bosom who was appearing in some boulevard review. They didn't know. Each had his own day. those people knew how to live.
Yes, did the center there have many friends?
And at our age, you see people dying off one after another. I do believe that in the end, I was the last person he used to visit. He had kept the full use of his legs. And he still went for a walk every day. He sometimes came up here to see me. I'm sitting where you're sitting now.
And what did you talk about?
About the old days, of course. And especially the boys we knew at Stanislas. I could still give you most of the names. It's astonishing how many of them have had distinguished careers. One of our schoolmates, who wasn't the most intelligent, was prime minister I don't know how many times. Died only last year. Another is a military member of the academy.
Had Saint-Hilaire made any enemies?
Well, how could he have made any? On the professional level, he never jostled anybody out of position, as is so often the case nowadays. He obtained his post by patiently waiting his turn. And in his memoirs, he didn't pay off old scores, which explains why so few people have read them.
And what about the prince?
I've already spoken to you about the prince. He knew the whole story, of course, and he knew that Saint-Hilaire would keep his word. If it hadn't been for society, I'm convinced that Armand would have been received at the prince's home, that he might even have had his place at table there.
The son knows all about it, too?
Certainly.
What is he like?
I don't think he has anything like his father's intelligence. He seems far less communicative, which is probably due to the difficulty, in our day and age, of bearing a name as heavy as his. Social life doesn't interest him. He is very rarely to be seen in Paris.
Have you seen him recently?
I shall be seeing him tomorrow, as well as his mother. at the reading of the will. I shall probably have to deal with both estates on the same day.
Hmm. The princess hasn't phoned you this afternoon?
Not yet. If she reads the papers, or if somebody tells her the news, she will doubtless get in touch with me. I still can't understand why anybody should murder my old friend. If it had happened anywhere except in his own home, I should have sworn that the murderer had killed the wrong person. By mistake.
Hmm. I suppose Jacquette Larieux was his mistress.
That isn't the right word. Mind you, Saint-Hilaire never talked to me about her. But I knew him. I knew Jacquette, too, when she was young. And she was a very pretty girl. Now, Armand rarely let a pretty girl come within reach without trying his luck. He did it in an aesthetic spirit, if you see what I mean.
Hmm.
And it's more than likely that if the opportunity occurs...
Well, thank you very much, Maître Bonnet.
I suppose you're in a hurry.
Yes, I'll have to see Madame Mazarin, the nephew's wife.
In any case, don't forget that I remain entirely at your service. You look a decent fellow, too. And I hope you find the scoundrel who's responsible.
Excuse the mess. I was busy making a dress for my daughter. I suppose you've come to see me about the murder, though I don't know what you hope to find out from me.
Your children aren't here?
My elder daughter is in England to learn the language. She's living with a family au pair. And my younger daughter is working. I suppose you've seen my husband?
Yes.
How is he taking it?
Is it a long time since you last saw him?
Nearly 3 years.
And the Comte de Saint-Gilaire?
The last time he came up here was just before Christmas. He brought some presents for my daughters. He never failed to remember. Is it true what the papers say? He was murdered?
Tell me about your husband.
What do you want me to say?
You married him for love, didn't you? Unless I'm mistaken, he's much older than you.
Only 10 years. He's always looked older than he is.
You loved him?
I don't know. I was living alone with my father, who was sour and embittered. I worked in a store on the Grand Boulevard. I met Alain. Aren't you thirsty?
Oh, no, thank you. I just had a glass of beer. Go on.
Perhaps it was the air of mystery about him that attracted me. He wasn't like other men. He talked very little, and what he said was always interesting. We got married and had a daughter right away.
And you lived in the Rue Jacob?
Yes. I liked that street, too, and our little second-floor apartment. At that time, the Comte de Saint-Hilaire was still an ambassador in Washington, unless I'm mistaken. During one of his leaves, he came to see us, and later he invited us to the Rue Saint-Dominique. I was very impressed by him.
How did he get on with your husband?
I can't really say. He was a man who was pleasant with everybody. He seemed surprised that I should be his nephew's wife.
Oh? Why?
It was only much later that I thought I understood, and I'm still not sure. He must have known Alain better than I thought, certainly better than I did at the time. I don't want to give you the impression that I'm talking like this out of spite, because my husband and I are separated. Besides, I'm the one who left.
And he didn't try to stop you?
I trust you don't suspect Alain.
To be perfectly frank, I don't suspect anybody yet, but I'm not ruling out any hypothesis.
You'd be on the wrong track if you did, I'm sure of that. In my opinion, Alain is a poor devil who has never been able to adjust himself to life and never will be able to. It's surprising, isn't it, that after leaving my father because he was embittered, I should marry a man even more embittered. My husband imagines everybody has a grudge against him. It's difficult to explain. You mustn't laugh at what I'm going to say.
Mm.
When I was living with him, I had the impression that I could hear him thinking from morning till night. And it was a sound as nerve-wracking as the ticking of an alarm clock. He used to come and go in silence, looking at me all of a sudden as if his eyes were turned towards the inside where I couldn't tell what was happening. It was impossible to make contact with him. For years, we slept in the same bed, and sometimes, when I woke up, I found myself looking at him as if he were a stranger. He was cruel. I'm probably exaggerating. He thought that he was fair, and he wanted to be fair at all costs. It was a mania with him. He was scrupulously fair, and that's what made me talk about cruelty. I noticed it most of all when we had the children. If they did something naughty, I tried to defend them. There's no reason why they should get into the habit of cheating. That was one of his favorite words, cheating. Dirty tricks.
Now, go on.
After a few years, I thought I could understand what the Americans mean by mental cruelty and why it's become grounds for divorce over there. With Alain, we felt suffocated, my daughters and I, and we didn't even have the consolation of seeing him go off to the office every morning. He was downstairs under our feet from morning till night, coming upstairs 10 times a day to watch what we were doing with cold eyes. I had to account to him for every franc I spent. When I went out, he insisted on knowing which way I was going to go, and when I got back, he questioned me about the people I'd spoken to, what I had said to them, what they had replied.
Were you unfaithful to him?
Why do you ask me that? Somebody told you something about me?
No.
As long as I was living with him, I didn't do anything he could hold against me.
What made you decide to leave him?
I was at the end of my rope. I was suffocating, as I told you. And I wanted my daughters to grow up in an atmosphere where they could breathe freely.
Yeah. Does your husband earn a good living?
He has his ups and downs. When I left him, it was agreed he would pay me a modest allowance for the children. He kept his word for a few months. Then there were some delays, and finally he stopped paying completely on the pretext that they were big enough to earn their living. But that doesn't make him a murderer, does it?
Did you know about his uncle's liaison?
Are you talking about Isabel?
Had you heard that Prince Hubert died on Sunday morning and that he was buried today?
I saw it in the paper.
Do you think that if Saint-Hilaire hadn't been killed, he would have married the princess?
Probably. All his life he'd hoped they would be united one day. I found it touching to hear him talking about her as if she was a woman in a class apart, an almost supernatural creature, when he was a man who appreciated the realities of life, sometimes a little too much. One day, a long time ago, when I went to see him about something or other, I had a job to escape from his clutches. Oh, Saint-Hilaire was a cool customer. In his eyes, it was perfectly normal.
Did your husband find out?
Of course not.
Was he jealous?
In his fashion. We didn't often have intercourse, and it was always cold, almost mechanical. What he would have condemned wasn't that I should be attracted by another man, but that I should be guilty of a misdemeanor, a sin, an act of treachery, something he regarded as unclean. Forgive me if I've talked too much, or if I've given the impression of wanting to put him down, because that isn't the case. You've seen that I haven't made myself out to be better than I am. I shan't go on feeling a real woman much longer, and I'm making the most of it while I can. You are sure you won't have something to drink?
No, thank you. It's the time I was going.
I assume all this remains confidential.
What have you done with Jacquette, Legrand? Have you let her go out?
No, she tried to after the phone call saying that there was nothing left to eat in the house.
Oh, where is she?
In a room, resting.
What phone call are you talking about?
Well, half an hour after you'd gone, the phone rang and I answered it. It was the Princess Isabel. She wanted to speak with Mademoiselle Larieux, so I let her.
And what does Jacquette have to say?
I made a note, Chief Inspector. Let me see. Ah, yes, here it is, and I quote... It's me, Madame la Princesse. Yes, I would have come, but these gentlemen won't allow me to go out. There are lots of them all over the apartment with all sorts of apparatus. They spent hours asking me questions, and even now there is an inspector listening to me, unquote. She looked as if she was defying me. After that, she listened most of the time, so there was just yes, no, and I understand.
Anybody else?
Oh, the press, of course. And apparently, Mazarin complained to the director that you were reading his uncle's private mail.
What did the director tell him?
To see you.
You didn't manage to get anything out of Jacquette?
I started asking her the most innocent questions imaginable in the hope of winning her confidence. All that happened was that she said in a sarcastic voice, "Young man, you can't teach your grandmother to suck eggs." There. And you, did you have any success?
No. I sometimes feel as if all these people were making a fool of me. It's like a fantasy novel. Two platonic lovers who write each other letters every day for 50 years and hope one day to get married and Everybody is old, except maybe Mazarin's estranged wife. Everybody lives within walking distance of one another.
Hey, what are you going to do?
Routine procedure. It's always the best. Hello, I should like to speak to the Princess Isabelle. This is Chief Inspector Maigret of the Judicial Police speaking. Yes, I'll hold the line. You better stay here, Legrand.
Yes, look.
Call headquarters and ask... Hello? Yes, madame, this is Chief Inspector Maigret. I thought that you might possibly wish me to get in touch with you, if only to give you a few details. Yes. Yes, whenever you wish. I'll come to the Rue de Varenne immediately. Call headquarters and ask Lucas to send you somebody, preferably Lapointe. The old girl can go out whenever she likes, and we'll follow her. And tell Lucas to take paraffin tests on Mazarin.
En jaquette, too?
Why not? As I said, let's follow routine procedure.
You expected me to look rather different, didn't you?
I don't dare to say yes, but I'm taken aback by her appearance. For all that she's dressed in black, she doesn't appear to be greatly distressed. She's smaller than in her photographs. What surprises me most is finding a plump woman with full, smooth cheeks and a dumpy body. It's this boudoir in which we are standing, the room where she spends most of her life. There are old tapestries on the walls. The floor shines brightly. Every piece of furniture is in its place. It reminds me of the convent where I sometimes visited an aunt who was a nun.
Please take a chair.
Thank you.
My first impulse was to go over there, but then I realized that he wouldn't be there anymore. The body has been taken to the morgue, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
I badly want to see him one last time. I shall come back to that later. What I want to know, first of all, is whether he died in pain.
Now you can set your mind at rest, madame. The Comte de Saint-Hilaire was killed instantly.
He was in his study?
Yes.
Sitting?
Yes. Seems that he was correcting proofs. Have you ever been to the Rue Saint-Dominique?
Only once. A long time ago, with Jacquette's connivance. I had chosen a time when I was sure that he wouldn't be there. I wanted to see the setting of his life so as to be able to visualize him at home in the various rooms. You mean you haven't read the letters?
I've looked through them. Not all of them, though.
Are they still in the Empire bookcase with the gilt latticework?
Yes.
I thought that you would have read them. I don't hold it against you. I realize it was your duty.
How did you hear about his death?
My daughter-in-law. My son, Philippe, came from Normandy with his wife and children to attend the funeral. A little while ago, when we got back from the cemetery, my daughter-in-law happened to glance at one of the newspapers that the servants usually put out on a table in the hall.
Your daughter-in-law knows all about it?
All about what?
About your relationship with the Comte de Saint-Hilaire.
But of course, how could she have failed to know about it?
Did your son know him?
My son, too, knew all about it. And when he was a boy, I sometimes pointed out Armand to him from a distance.
He never went to see him?
Whatever for. Won't you have some wine?
No, thank you, madame.
Tell me all that you have discovered, Monsieur Maigret. At what time was he killed?
As far as we can tell, between 11 o'clock and midnight.
Yet he wasn't ready to go to bed.
How do you know?
Because before going to his room, he always wrote me a few words which finished his daily letter. He began it every morning with a ritual phrase. Good morning, Easy. Just as he would have greeted me if fate had allowed us to live together. He would add a few lines, and then during the day he would come back to the letter to tell me what he had been doing. At night, his last words were invariably, good night, pretty Easy. I must apologize for telling you something that probably makes you laugh. For him, I had remained the Isabel of 20.
He had seen you since?
Yes, but from a distance. Tell me everything without trying to spare my feelings. When a woman gets to my age, you know, it means that she is no weakling. Who was the murderer? How did he get in?
Well, somebody got in, all right, seeing that no weapon has been found in the room or in the apartment. Jacquette maintains that she locked the door about 9 o'clock, so we're forced to conclude that the Comte de Saint-Hilaire let his visitor in himself. Do you know if he often received people in the evening?
Never. Since his retirement, he had become very much a man of habit and had adopted a daily routine that was practically invariable.
What do you think of Jacquette?
She was absolutely devoted to us, to Armand and me. When he broke his arm in Switzerland, it was she who wrote to me at his dictation.
You don't think she was jealous?
Oh, she was jealous, but as a dog is jealous of its master. If in the old days she sometimes happened to be jealous in another way, as a woman, it was of his mistresses, not of me.
Do you think she was his mistress once?
There can be no doubt of that.
He told you so in a letter?
He never concealed anything from me. He wrote me not so many years ago, "Jacquette is nervy today. I must remember to pleasure her tonight." Does it surprise you? Yet it's so natural.
And you weren't jealous either?
Not of that. My only fear was that he might meet a woman capable of taking my place in his mind. You don't know anything about his visitor?
Only that he fired a first shot with a heavy caliber weapon, probably a 301 automatic.
Where was Armand hit?
In the head. Doctor says that death was instantaneous. The body slipped out of the carpet at the foot of the armchair. And the murderer fired 3 more shots.
Why? Since he was dead.
We don't know. Unless it's a case of revenge, of hatred held in check for a long time. What would seem to contradict this theory is that the murderer afterwards had the presence of mind to pick up all the shells. Nor did he leave any fingerprints. There remains one last question which puzzles me, especially after what you just told me about your relations with Jacquette. After she found the body this morning, she didn't seem to have thought of phoning you. And instead she went not to the local police station, but to the Foreign Office.
I think I can give you an explanation of that. Just after my husband's death, the telephone kept ringing nearly all the time. People we hardly knew wanted information about the funeral arrangements or wanted to express their sympathy to me. My son decided to have the phone cut off.
So Jacquette may have tried to phone you.
Very probably. And if she didn't come herself to give me the news, it must have been because she knew that she would find it difficult to see me on the day of the prince's funeral.
Yeah. You don't know any enemies the Comte de Saint-Hilaire had?
Not one.
In his letters to you, did he sometimes mention his nephew?
Have you seen Alain?
This morning.
What did he say?
Nothing. He's been to see Maître Aubenet. The will is to be read tomorrow, and the lawyer will be getting in touch with you, as your presence is necessary.
I know.
You know the terms of the will?
Armand insisted on leaving me his furniture, so that if he happened to die before me, I should still have the impression, to some extent, of having been his wife.
Are you going to accept this bequest?
It was his wish, was it not? Mine, too. If he had not died, once I had come out of mourning, I should have become the Countess de Saint-Hilaire. That had always been agreed between us.
Your husband knew about your plans?
Of course.
Your son and daughter-in-law, too?
Not only them, but all our friends. We had nothing to hide, as I said before. Armand's apartments will be reconstructed here. No doubt I haven't a very long time to live, but however little time I have left, I shall live in his setting. You understand? as if I were his widow.
Yes. Have you any idea who could have benefited by killing Saint-Hilaire?
Benefited? Certainly not. You know the broad lines of the will.
And what if Alain Mazarin needed money badly?
His uncle used to give him some whenever that was the case. Once my husband died, Armand and I would have married, it is true, but I would never have allowed my family to inherit his money.
And Jacquette?
She was aware that provision had been made for her old age.
She was also aware that you had intended to go and live in the Rue Saint-Dominique?
She looked forward to my doing so.
And your son?
What has my son got to do with it?
I don't know. I'm just feeling my way. He's the heir to the name.
But he would be, even if Armand had gone on living.
Was your son here last night?
No, he's staying with his wife and children at a hotel in the Place Vendôme, where they are in the habit of residing when they come to Paris.
You mean to say that since his marriage, he has never stayed in this house?
Well, in the first place, he very rarely comes to Paris, and never for long, because he hates society life.
And his wife, too?
Yes. In the first years of their marriage, they had a suite of rooms in this house. Then they had a first child, a second, a third.
How many have they altogether?
Six. The eldest is 20, the youngest 7. What I am going to say may shock you, but I cannot live with children. My son knows that. So does his wife.
They don't hold it against you?
They accept me as I am, with all my faults and vagaries.
You said a little while ago that your son and his family were here in the house.
Only a grandson. The others have left.
Would you allow me to have a few words with your grandson?
Why not? Come this way.
Thank you.
Here he is. Chief Inspector Maigret, this is my grandson, Julien.
How do you do?
How do you do, Chief Inspector?
I'll leave you.
Sit down, please.
Oh, I have to go back to a lecture in half an hour, but I'm glad for the opportunity of speaking to you. On Tuesday afternoon, I went to see my uncle.
Your uncle?
Yes, that's what I call the Comte de Saint-Hilaire.
Oh. You used to go and see him?
Yes. I didn't talk about it with my parents, but I didn't conceal it from them either. I first heard about him when I was a boy.
From whom?
From my governesses first. Then, later on, from my schoolmates. My grandmother's love story is almost legendary.
Yeah, I know.
When I was about 10 or 11, I asked her about him, and we got into the habit of talking about Saint-Hilaire. She used to read me letters. He wrote very well. In a lively style, rather like Cardinal de Retz. It may have been on account of him and his stories that I chose the diplomatic career.
And when did you get to know him personally?
2 years ago. I had a friend at Stanislas whose grandfather had also been in the Foreign Service. One day at his home, I met the Comte de Saint-Hilaire and asked to be introduced to him. He asked me some questions about my studies and my plans for the future.
And you went to see him in the Rue Saint-Dominique?
He invited me there. Though he added, provided that your parents have no objections.
Did you meet him often?
No. About once a month. It all depended. One day, without thinking, I said to him, I feel rather as if I were talking to an uncle. And I to a nephew, he replied. Why don't you call me uncle? That's why I used the term just now.
And your grandmother knew about your visits to the Rue Saint-Dominique?
Yes. I used to tell her all about our conversations. She would ask me for details, and sometimes it was she who reminded me that I hadn't been to see our friend for a long time.
Yes. So, on Tuesday, you went to see the Count?
Yes.
Had you any special reason for this visit?
In a way. My grandfather had died 2 days before, and I thought my grandmother would like to know how her friend was reacting.
You didn't feel the same curiosity?
Perhaps I did. I knew that they had sworn to marry one day, if it were possible.
The idea appealed to you?
It did, rather.
And to your parents?
I never talked about it to my father, but I've every reason to think that he didn't mind the idea. As for my mother...
Your mother?
Well, I'm not being unkind about her if I say that she attaches greater importance to titles and privileges than anybody else in the family.
Hmm. And what happened in the course of this conversation in the Rue Saint-Dominique?
Well, nothing that I can explain at all clearly. Right from the beginning, the Comte de Saint-Hilaire seemed worried. And it was suddenly borne in on me that he was very old. Before then, he'd never looked his age. You could tell that he was in love with life, that he enjoyed every aspect of it, every moment of it, as a connoisseur. To my mind, he was a man of the 18th century who had strayed into the 20th. You understand what I mean?
I do.
I didn't expect to find him broken up by the death of my grandfather. But on Tuesday afternoon, Saint-Hilaire was out of spirits and avoided looking at me as if he had something to hide. I said something like this: a year from now, you'll finally be able to marry my grandmother. He turned his head away. So I pressed the point: how do you feel about it? I wish I could remember his exact words. It's strange that I can't remember them, seeing that I was so struck by their meaning and all that they implied. What he said in substance was, I won't be allowed to. And when I looked at his face, I thought I could see fear in it. At the time, I didn't attach much importance to it, imagining that it was the natural reaction of an old man on hearing about the death of another old man and telling himself that it would be his turn soon. When I heard that he had been murdered, that scene came back to me.
And did you mention it to anybody?
No.
Not even to your grandmother?
I didn't want to upset her.
If I understand you correctly, you think he foresaw what has happened to him?
He foresaw something unpleasant. Yes. I decided to tell you about it because it's been worrying me.
He didn't talk to you about his enemies?
I'm convinced he never had any. Oh, a few envious colleagues, perhaps, at the beginning of his career, which was swift and brilliant. They, too, are dead and buried.
Mm. Well, thank you. You did right to tell me.
You don't know anything?
Nothing certain, no.
Chief Inspector Maigret is wanted on the telephone.
Mm. Oh, it's right there in the hall.
Thank you. Maigret, who's speaking?
LeCloud. Merle's trying to get you at your office. Then he called here at the Rue Saint-Dominique.
Yes, sir.
It's so extraordinary. He just finished the tests.
Well?
It's positive.
You sure? Who?
Absolutely certain. There's no doubt that Jacques Lanier fired a gun within the last 48 hours.
She let Merle carry out the test?
She was no trouble at all.
How does she explain it?
She doesn't.
Hmm. Take her to my office at the Quai. I'll come right away.
She insists on seeing her confessor.
In that case, have him come to the Quai des Orfèvres as well. I distrust evidence, suspect hasty judgments. I patiently try to understand, never forgetting that the most obvious motives are not always the most important. Since I began this investigation, I have felt out of my depth, because I found myself unexpectedly faced with people whose very existence I had never suspected. All their attitudes, their remarks, their reactions are unfamiliar. I wanted to like them, even Jacquette, in spite of her contrariness. Saint-Hilaire has been killed for all that by one of these people. That's practically certain. By Jacquette, if scientific tests still mean anything. And this all-too-innocent love story annoys me. I've stopped believing in it. I have to look for a different explanation, more consistent with my experience. Don't two women who have loved the same man for so many years inevitably end up by hating each other? Wouldn't a family allied to most of the royal families of Europe react strongly to the threat of a marriage as ridiculous as that envisaged by the two old people? None of them makes any accusations. None of them has any enemies. All of them live in apparent harmony, except Mazarin and his wife. Is her confessor still there in my office?
They are old, and he's the oldest of the lot. Yeah. 90 years, I guess. Shall I come with you?
That'd be a good idea if you did. The Abbé Barrault was indeed a very old man. A skeletal figure with long, untidy hair, His cassock is shiny with wear and is badly darned here and there.
I must apologize, Chief Inspector, for keeping you waiting such a long time. You see, the question Mademoiselle Lelieux asked me was rather delicate, and I had to consider it carefully before giving her a reply. I must admit that I nearly asked you for permission to telephone the Archbishop to ask his opinion.
Oh, sit down, please, Monsieur Abbey. I imagine your penitent still has need of your services.
Mademoiselle Lelieux, as you are aware, is extremely devout, and it is her piety which has led her to adopt an attitude which I have felt it my duty to persuade her to abandon. What was worrying her was the thought that the Comte de Saint-Hilaire might not be given Christian burial. And that is why she had decided to wait until the funeral had taken place before saying anything.
The Comte de Saint-Hilaire committed suicide.
I am afraid that that is the truth of the matter. But, as I told Mademoiselle Larieux, we have no proof that he didn't repent what he had done at the last moment. No death is instantaneous in the eyes of the Church. Infinity exists in time as well as in space. And an infinitely small lapse of time, though it may defy measurement by doctors, is sufficient for contrition. I don't believe that the Church will refuse its last blessing to the Comte de Saint-Hilaire. Speak up, Jacquette. Repeat what you have just told me.
I was in bed. I was asleep. I heard an explosion and I rushed into the study.
You found your master sprawled on the carpet with half his face shot away?
Yes.
Where was the automatic?
On the desk.
What did you do?
I went to get a mirror from my room to make sure that he had stopped breathing.
You made certain that he was dead. After that?
My first impulse was to telephone the princess.
Yes, why didn't you?
First of all, because it was nearly midnight.
You weren't afraid that she would disapprove of your plan?
I didn't think of it right away. I told myself that the police were going to come. And suddenly I realized that because it was suicide, the Count wouldn't be given Christian burial.
How long was it from the moment when you knew your employer was dead to the moment when you in your turn fired the gun?
I don't know. 10 minutes, perhaps. I knelt down beside him and I said a prayer. Then, standing up, I took the gun and I fired without looking and asking the dead man to forgive me.
You fired 3 bullets?
I don't know. I pulled the trigger until it didn't work anymore. Then I noticed some bright dots on the rug. I don't know anything about guns, but I realized they were shells and I picked them up. I didn't sleep a wink all night. Early next morning, I went and threw the gun and the shells into the Seine from the Pont de la Concorde. I had to wait quite a while because there was a policeman on duty in front of the Chamber of Deputies who seemed to be looking at me.
Do you know why your employer committed suicide?
For some time he'd been worried and upset.
Why?
A few months ago the doctor advised him to give up drinking wine and spirits. He was a great wine lover. He gave it up for a few days and then he started drinking it again and that gave him a stomach ache, and he had to get up in the night to take bicarbonate of soda. In the end, I was buying him a package every week.
What was the name of his doctor?
Dr. Orgu on the Boulevard Saint-Germain.
Get me Dr. Orgu, Boulevard Saint-Germain. Ring me when he's on the line. He's been his doctor for a long time?
Yes, you might say almost that he had always been his doctor.
How old is Dr. Orgu?
I don't know exactly. About my age.
He's still practicing?
Oh, yes. He goes on seeing his old patients. His son has offices just across the landing from him.
Right to the very end, they remained not only in the same district, but among people who might be said to belong to the same species. Maigret. Oh, Dr. Urgo. This is Chief Inspector Maigret. As you may have guessed, I should like to ask you a few questions about one of your patients. Yes, it's him I'm talking about. Jacquette Larieux is here in my office and has just told me that the Comte de Saint-Hilaire committed suicide. What's that? Oh, you were expecting me to come and see you. You had guessed it was that. She says that for several months the Comte de Saint-Hilaire had been suffering from pains in the stomach. Yes, I can hear you perfectly. Dr. Tudel, the expert who carried out the post-mortem, says he was surprised to find an old man's organs in such good condition. What's that? Well, that's what you kept telling your patient. And he didn't believe you. Yes. Yes, I see. You couldn't convince him. Oh, he went to see some of your colleagues. Thank you, Doctor. I shall probably have to trouble you to take your evidence. But no, on the contrary, it's very important. The Comte de Saint-Hilaire got it into his head that he was suffering from cancer. In spite of his doctor's assurance to the contrary, he started going to different doctors to be examined, deciding every time that the truth was being kept from him.
Oh, he was always so proud of his health. In the old days, he often used to say that he wasn't afraid of death, that he was prepared for it, but that he would find it hard to put up with being sick. One of his friends, several years ago, died of cancer, which had kept him in bed for nearly 2 years. The Count used to say, "Why don't they let him die? If I were in his place, I should ask them to help me to go as soon as possible."
You're free to go. The car will take you home. In the next few days, there'll be some formalities to be completed, some documents to be signed.
Maigret in Society by Frederick Spearley. Produced from our Toronto studios by Peter Duncan. Bud Knapp starred as Chief Inspector Maigret. And other performers were Kay Hawtrey as Jacquette, Claude Ray as Legrand, Len Berman as Mazarin and the Abbé, John Bethune as Aubonnet, Corinne Langston as Madame Mazarin, the Princess was Sandra Scott, and Gary Files played Julien. Title music by Lucio Agostini. Sound effects, Bill Robinson. The program was recorded by Derek Stubbs. Ken Haslam speaking.